Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
Isaiah chapter 10, I want to start from Isaiah chapter 10, but remember our theme scripture for the month, Isaiah chapter 54 verse 3, you will expand to the right, you will expand to the left, you expand to the left, and your descendants will inhabit the Gentiles, and they will make the desolate places occupied. Praise the Lord. And that's our theme scripture. So enlargement is, any way anybody looks at it, that's all right, but we know what we're saying. We know what the Bible says. We know what is expected of God. We understand that God introduces the greatest as potential. And he watches it just grow. And everything he does on earth, it starts with the seed and you grow. He gives the capacity for growth. That's God. God doesn't mind you being small, but he hates the fact that you want to remain small all your life. You cannot be a baby, a child all your life. Even your Christian walk, you must mature. It does not indulge anybody. So we all grow. We come in as babe and we grow. Even in the physical, you were conceived in the womb by the time. You didn't know who you were. We didn't know how you looked. But you see, you are grew the womb. And since you have been born, you continue to grow. Initially, you are a baby and then you grew physically. Maybe then you attend to your height. The height that God will use on earth, and that was it. But you see, that didn't stop you. You continue to get wiser by the day. There's no end to growth in Christ Jesus. That's why it says in your old age, you still bear fruit. So it's a mindset. So change your mindset about that. There's no truncation in God. There's no plateau in God. So Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 is where I'm going to start from today. It reads, it says, it shall come to pass. Now it's a prophecy of Isaiah. And usually it was to the children of Israel. But you want to understand that it was to the covenant children of God, and they were the only covenant children of God at the time. Today they are not the only ones. So any prophecy of the Bible can apply to you for your time. Hallelujah. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed. Yes. Because of the anointing oil. Praise the Lord. And the reason it's being anointed oil is because the anointing here, the reference here is talking of the yoke and the neck. Now, you want to understand what the yoke and the neck actually means quickly. Until now that we have machines for everything, animals were used for everything. And that's why even today when we build our machines, we read them in terms of horsepower. That was what we used to employ. So we rate our powers, our capacities, horsepower, and you know, glory be to God in the highest. Yes, I say glory be to God in the highest. Yeah. Amen. So in those days, everything was done by animals. We use them, we use cows to plow. We use them to lift weights. We use horses to drag things. And even when we began to introduce some wheels, you sit in the carriage and horses will still be the engine. And see, if you use just one horse, you'll kill it. So you use four, six horses. You always an even number. One here, and then there are metal on their necks, and there are bars to connect them. Come on, engineers, you understand what I mean? When you begin to introduce a bar from one source of power, weight to another, you are distributing, as it were. The builders of this house will tell you the reason nothing is falling here or there is that the power is transmitted. That's why on a decking, when you drop something there, kim, you see sound all over. Why? It is transmitted all through. Why? There are metal bars distributing the stress all over. That's what happens. So the bar, we distribute the stress to the two animals because the two of them begin to... And where is the bar hanging? Rings, metal rings on their necks. Are you here with me? Glory be to God in the highest. So what part of them really is bearing the weight? Their shoulders and their necks. And the two of them, there may be four, pulling. So, but in that day. And that was the same thing. That was the same thing that happened to slaves. Remember those days when you carried the slave masters or colonial masters in their carriage? Then four men were carrying. Where? Neck. Shoulder, one there, one here, one there, one there. The man will sit down with his wife. Yoke, oppression. Isn't that what the devil is doing to people? See, in that day, his burden will be removed. And this yoke will be not removed, destroyed. Once what is destroyed cannot be regathered. That's why he whom the Son has set free. Don't go back picking it up. But you see, to where the anointing oil here that you're saying is the fat of the neck. You put it in the neck of the animal. The animal they are using for that, where does it get fat? They labor every day. They said, in spite of that, you will get fat. They are oppressing you, you are getting fat in the neck. They are oppressing you, you are getting fat in the neck. Until the fat of your neck gets to a place where the metal is. When Ora is breaking metal, come here, did you hear me? When animal fat is breaking, shattering metals, it's not ordinary. When we started Bible school, somebody was explaining to his student. He said, don't mind them when they say the anointing. He said, it's ordinary. I said, that lecturer made a mistake. There's nothing wrong in you explaining that it's the fat of the neck, but it's not ordinary. It is extraordinary. The anointing of the Holy Ghost make fat to break ala boko shunda. So, what is establishing there is that anointing is fat-like, oil-like. And as simple as oil is, it will destroy the strongest hindrance. Because it symbolizes the power, the Spirit of God. Are you here with me? Praise the Lord. So today I just want to talk on this power. Hallelujah. So that's Isaiah chapter 10. And you find Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when he was returning from the wilderness, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Come on. Hello. For he has what? The same word. And they mean exactly the same thing. For he has anointed me. Who? The Spirit of the Lord. So who? The Lord has anointed me. To preach what? So again, without putting too much pressure on anybody or on anything, when the anointing comes, it takes care of God's work first. Because God's work is to liberate the people.
Yes, sir.
His only work is towards people. Yeah. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the sick of the brokenhearted. Liberty to the captives. Glory of sight to the blind. And to preach the acceptable year. Or to set at liberty them that are oppressed. Then the last one that Jesus put it in, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So how? Jesus came. How? Let me quickly remind you. You know, for 30 years we didn't hear anything about Jesus. And except at age 12 when he went into the temple in Jerusalem with his parents. And then of course they forgot him. They forgot him in the presence of Lord of God. I like that. I mean, if you forget me, just forget me in the presence of God. Otherwise pray for me every day. If you do forget, forget me in the presence. If you look for me, don't see me in the presence of God. No problem. How would you like to be forgotten in the presence of God? That's a good one. That's when you remember me in the presence of God. Amen. That's my prayer. So when I remember you in the presence of God, hallelujah. Isn't God faithful? Amen. So apart from age 12 until age 30, and what happened at 30? He came to Jordan to be baptized. And as soon as he was dipped in the water, coming out of the water, he was praying. You see why prayers are important? A non-praying Christian is a powerless Christian. He was praying. And as he was praying, the Bible says heavens open. See, that's what prayers does. It opens up heaven. Heavens was open. And then something happened. In the bodily form, there was a dove falling on him. So the Holy Ghost assume a bodily form. Why bodily form? So that your eyes could see. If you didn't assume that form, you will not see. You will have still fallen on him, but you won't see. Like when he falls on people now, you don't see. You only see when they begin to, I'm healed. You say something's happened to him. But if you were to be here in Jordan that day, you will see him coming. Boom. He allowed it so that men could see. That never happened before. Come on, are you here with me? I'm going somewhere. Because you are going to be getting results. In the name of Jesus. I like Jesus. So. Okay. And heavens opened, and this Holy Ghost came down like a dove, and God spoke, and he allowed our ears to hear. They said they heard a thundering voice, but they perceived what he was saying. Of what use, if you are hearing me, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm like, you are hearing me, what am I saying? So they heard something, and they knew what they heard. So it was clear. What they heard, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God allowed that to show them that my son is here. Since the fall, I have a son. Foot to ground on earth. Walking like a man. Not occasionally sending angels and they come quickly. No. He's walking amongst you. This is my son. He said it and he demonstrated it. You saw his spirit coming down on him. Glory be to God in the highest. So, he says the anointing does what? Destroys the yoke. And Jesus will make it clear to you. This is the reason, the purpose. The Son of Man was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So, if you know the reason for the anointing, you see destruction right before you. What destruction? Of the works of the devil. And because the devil is in the spirit realm, so that's spiritual power. The anointing is for destruction of the works of the devil. And that's why in that day is now. Then it was in that day. But that day is, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? Glory be to God in the highest. Then in Acts 10:38, Theophilus was writing how God anointed Jesus Christ. What did God do? Help me. I feel the fire. Do you know there are some strange miracles that are coming your way today? In the name of Jesus, what you thought would never happen again. In the name of Jesus. You say, but why will it happen? We are talking about God here. You say, which God? God, the Spirit. We don't have three gods. God the Father, give him praise. God the Son, give him spirit. Will you stop giving God praise? God the Spirit, give him praise. He's God. They're talking about God here. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? Come on, talk to me. So when God anoints, how does he anoint? With the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost and what? Power. So and what was the result? He went about doing what? And? Come on. And? Oh, who are what? So this anointing has a special way it works. It goes for the oppressed and it sets them free. The anointing destroys yokes. It sets the captives free. It opens prison doors. Glory be to God in the highest. And see how with Jesus, what happened? He came on him, but he was God. But see, he didn't come in to demonstrate that I'm God here. He came in to demonstrate that you as a man can take dominion, can have authority, can carry anointing. So he came and he left Godhood aside and he walked amongst men. And when he would begin to move around, God said, come on. He cloaked him with the garment of the Spirit. Anointing. So he went about doing good in all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what the anointing does. And can you begin to see that, yes, God will use you. Don't you ever think it's you by yourself? Alone is a collaboration. It is God at work, but he must use someone. He must use someone. you understand? You see how God does it? I'm talking about the anointing. Now you can now begin to understand. So what's the anointing really? Trying to explain it, whether in the Old or New Testament, they said anointing, if you look at it, is the Hebrew word to smear. Not to rub, to smear. To rub, you rub it in the way you smear, you splash it. You smear. So when they said God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, so he smeared him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Come on, are you here with me? But who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Can you really talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about the essence of God? God is Spirit. Okay. So when Jesus would walk on earth, he was smeared with the material of God. Come on. With the substance of God. You see, if God is Spirit, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, John 4:24, God is Spirit, and they that must what? So for my worship to amount to anything, I must recognize I'm dealing with Spirit. But you see, for we believers, worship is everything we do with God. Because if it's God, you're on your face. If you're not on your face, you're on your face in your mind. You're on your face in your heart. If it's God, there must be reverence. There must be honor. There must be respect. If it's God, on your face. I say, see, as a man, I could have a problem with my health. But if I take it to God in prayer, who are you taking it to? I can hear you. If I take it to God, that means that they that must be in the Spirit, that means I must be getting into the Spirit. I had better present it in the worship. If I have issues with my wife, God, worship. My children, worship. My finances, worship. And when it's worship, he comes into it. So I'm in the Spirit. A song I like to sing. It says, staying in the Spirit, I am free. There is no chain on me. Jesus already gave me the keys. Staying in the Spirit, I am free. Free. Free from any hold of the devil. Is that scripture? Huh? Walk in the Spirit. And you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, sin, sickness, failure, defeat. Just step into the Spirit and see victory. So, smeared with the substance of God. Hallelujah. So everywhere he manifested, demons obeyed. Demons quivered. You say, how? Everywhere he went, he was what? Come on. Hello. So Jesus just said, I'm going there. No. Everywhere in the natural, he had to go. There must be testimony.
Amen.
Not trying to impress anybody. But if in the natural, I have to eat, there'll be testimony. I have to bath, there'll be testimony. I have to take a plane, there'll be testimony. I have to take a train, there'll be testimony. So people just got into a train and they sat down. And the people that started with, one man looked, I said, he got up. He said, I don't know. This man is convicting me of sin. He ran away. He just sat down. Hello. And he sat down reading his Bible. And they were restless. I feel the fire. Oh, I feel the fire. He said, why are you doing this? Because I know that we are at a stage in this church and in the body of Christ, not just in this church, in the body of Christ, that God is doing something quick. I feel the fire again. He's doing a quick work. And I need to let you know so that nobody will be left behind. I want to let you know that because of what God is doing, the devil is doing his activities too. But you see, that's all right. Who is afraid of the devil? Three things he does. He will try to distract you. Deceive you, distract you into this fear. To block you, but it's alive on the pit of hell. God has concluded his work. through your hand have been miracles, salvation. God will be glorified in the name of Jesus. So don't be surprised when you see battle where you never expected it. It's because of where God is taking you. Victory is assured. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, true. So don't lose hope when you see battles there. Stand your ground in the name of Jesus. You say, what is it? Have you ever read before that when you begin to see maggots in the anointing oil, there's trouble? The devil will try, but it's a point at the fact that you are the threshold of an unusual, supernatural explosion in the name of Jesus. So don't get discouraged. Stand your ground. Resist the devil. He will flee. He will run in terror. You have to resist him. Pastor, when Jesus was anointed, the next thing was temptation. If Jesus, are you better than him? Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says, for this purpose, Son of Man was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I am come that you may have what? Come on, talk to me. That you may have what? That you may have what? And to have it? So now we are going to introduce another thing, life. But you see, so when you talk, the spirit, God is spirit, life. Can I quickly just draw a conclusion here? If it is God, it is spirit. If it is God, it is life. You say, what do you mean? What about his angels? They are ministering spirits. What about his ministers? Flaming, they are flaming swords. What about his word? They are spirits and they are life. Come on. Even Paul got to know that. You wonder why Paul had such a great success. He knew these things. How? He said, we are able ministers of the spirit, not of the flesh, not of the letter. 2 Corinthians. He said, because the letter killeth, but the spirit gives what? Come on, because Jesus has said it before in John 6. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh puts what? Nothing. The word I speak to you, they are what? And so even his word is spirit. It is life. So when you are talking spirit, you are talking life. He says, I'm calling that he may have what? Life. But what did he do? He anointed him. And how does he bring this life? Destroying the works of the devil. Come on, somebody hearing me. So he says, if you believe, if you receive the work that I do, you will do. And greater works than this shall you do. And we find that in the life of Paul. Very easy. But before then, when he took them on the Mount of Transfiguration, he did something. You know what it is, sir? Because they have been following him. They know him as the master. They've seen miracles, but they really didn't really, they were yet really fully knowing. Because at that time, he hadn't died and resurrected. So that God can come to dwell in the spirit of man was strange to anybody. It has never happened before. And so he took them up the mountain and he transfigured before them. So what did he do? His real person began to flow out. From inside out. Jesus on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a joy in my heart. Jesus on the inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a joy in my heart. Jesus on my inside is working on the outside. Oh, what a joy in my heart. Oh, what a joy in my heart. I feel the fire. You say, what kind of fire? It will heal you. It will break the chain. It will deliver you. In the name of Jesus. That's why he's here. And it's not peculiar to anybody. We are all children of God. God doesn't have grandchildren. Yes, you can raise some people up. The ministry gifts, like your pastors, evangelists, teachers, yes. But everybody. Say the gift of the Spirit is for us to benefit from. Everyone. Because this is life, really. Whether we live or die, this is life. This is it. And what did he do? So he began to come out from it. After a while, his very cloth disappeared. His face, everything disappeared. They saw lights. Guess what? If you see God, everybody went down, their faces worship. Then Peter said, hey, it is good that we are here. Where he was covered. We will build three tabernacles here. And that guy can't talk. But he worked for him. He said, don't tell anybody yet. But what did Jesus demonstrate there? The capacity to carry God on the inside. John chapter 1 verse 12. As many as received him, to them he has given what? He has given the power and the capacity to become sons. Who are sons? They carry him on the inside. They carry him on the outside. They carry him with them everywhere they go. You see him on them. You see him around them. Anywhere. They are conscious of who they are and who they carry. Oh, I feel the fire. And Paul understood this. And so what happened to Paul? Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed the lame. Miracles. Paul got to minister and I was talking to them about Jesus. I'm telling them about this Jesus and this power that I'm talking about. How God anointed him. In fact, that's the very place. He started talking to them. He said it in the house of Cornelius. And then by the time we got to Ephesus in chapter 19, he said the same thing. Oh no, Peter said in the house of Cornelius. Paul said the same thing in the house of in Ephesus. And by the way, Peter that said that, Acts 10:38, it was Peter talking actually. Peter that said that, he got to a stage in the life of Peter when he walks, his shadow. What do you think? Life was flowing. So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's not an influence, it's a flow. Flow from the inside out. What do you think happens when I lay my hand? It flows. What happens when you were laying hands and people were standing there and someone was screaming? Life flowed. The Spirit flowed. Life flowed. Power flowed. What do you think happened when the woman with issue of blood said, if only I can touch his garment? He said, something left me. They said, no. We said, who touched me? They said, everybody, come on. I said, no. Somebody touched me because virtue flowed. Go and check virtue. Quickening spirit, life, power, accomplishing power. It flowed. Hello? So what did you see in the life of Paul? He was ministering, and women would come with handkerchief and they would throw it. And they would throw it on her. Say, because we have somebody who is sick at home and they would run with the handkerchief and the person would get up. You know what? Because they understand that life was flowing out of him and they have faith in the fact that this life of God can heal. It's only faith that receives from the Spirit. Because some things you've never seen, you think it's not possible in your life. Abby, I'm just trying to demonstrate what I just said. That's it. Pastor, because it's you. Yeah, because I'm talking about him. I'm meditating on him. My whole consciousness is about him. He's for him. If you do the same, you'll flow. Can't you see? Whether it's in the office, in your marriage, as far as your children are concerned, he will flow. It is the life of God. I stop. I have more to say. But maybe I should stop here. It's about his life. It's about his spirit. Somebody was saying, how can I have this? The Bible is clear. How did you get this, Pastor Taiwo? By his grace, the Bible. I read and he opens my eyes that God will grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of him. But because you do so desire strongly in the name of Jesus, let's rise up. The consciousness of his presence will drive you henceforth in the name of Jesus. I say the consciousness of his presence will become your main drive in life in the name of Jesus. Anywhere we see you, kingdom experts, in the name of Jesus, anywhere your name is associated with, kingdom exploits in the name of Jesus. From today, your light will shine in the name of Jesus. Men will see your good works. They will glorify your Father. I say they will glorify God on account of you. In the name of Jesus. Sickness, we see you and bow. In the name of Jesus. Way where there is no way. The crooked straighten before you. Because of the anointing on your life. In the name of Jesus. Your valleys will be leveled and filled. Your mountains will be brought low. In the name of Jesus. The double leaf door will fling open for you. In the name of Jesus. Because the King of Glory cannot be disturbed. It cannot be bad. In the name of Jesus. The best moment of your life is just beginning. In the name of Jesus. The supernatural will work for you naturally. In the name of Jesus. Come on, wave your hand and give God the glory.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukweju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.